Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th House Apostolic Shadow Turning Congregation, Mount Sinai, from 12th House, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 1, 2017, or it is Bull 13, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled The Lily of the Valley. Oh, I found a friend in Yahshua. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. Tells me every care on him to go. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I've all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn. From my heart and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore, oh yes, well, I shall safely reach the shore goal. It's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith in thee, his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he, my hungry soul shall fill. Though sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Part 5. Esau and Jacob. Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 104. Cloud by day, fire by night. And Yahweh went before them by day, and a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way, and by the night, and a pillar of the fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. So this is where it's going to be today. It's going to be today, before we go, right here, in Zechariah 14. You go by Zechariah 14, it talks about a night and day there as well. Let's read it. Zechariah 14, verse 6. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known unto the Yahweh, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Okay. So what's the difference in that day there that's going to occur in these last days and this day that we just talked about here that occurred 3,500 years ago? And you know what? That cloud was over them for 40 years. That cloud was over them for 40 years, giving them light at night, and giving them protection in the daytime from the storm for 40 years. And keep in mind now, part of those Israelites, they were the old head that came out of Egypt that rebelled at Kadesh Barnea. and caused those that was 20 years and older to rebel for 40 years of illness, but yet that cloud was over them for 40 years. Think about it. And then it says right there in the next chapter over, let's go to Malachi 1, as I said, the next chapter over from Zechariah 14. The first chapter, let's read verse 1. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. For the burden of the word of the Yahweh unto Israel by the Malachi, I have loved you, saith Yahweh, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith Yahweh, yet I love Jacob. Okay, now, this scenario played out with Gilead Center starting in 1970. Brother Johnson had the position of Antiochus Esau. And here's a prophecy for that time, right up to that time. It says, I have loved you, saith Yahweh, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? In other words, he's loved the house of David. He loved the house of Jacob. Jacob represented the 12 tribes. Esau, the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah, did not bring forth the 12 sons that represents the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000 today. So therefore, Yahweh did not love him because he didn't fulfill the commission of the firstborn. Esau didn't love Yahweh. Esau didn't love his inheritance to be the firstborn to carry on the righteous line of his father Isaac. That's all he had to do was just become righteous. And he had every reason to become righteous because he had his father's example, Isaac. And he had the sanctuary suit his father faithfully taught him. So he had every opportunity to hold on to being the firstborn inheritance of and carrying on being the progenitor of the righteous line. But because he despised all of that, then it says Yahweh hated him. It says Yahweh hated him for it. Turned to hate him. So that's what you might say here in Malachi. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? It's asking a question. Well, wasn't he Jacob's brother? Why? What are you talking about? I have loved you. He's talking about I have loved the house of Israel. And I have loved Jacob, said Yahweh. And in Malachi verses, chapter 1, verse 3 says, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains, Esau's mountains. How many mountains did he have? He had several mountains, three of them, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Because you've always had the Esauites in the Adventist church from 1844 on, clear up until now. You've always had the Jacobites. That's the reason why you had three feeding pastures, three steps of the genuine movement of Seventh-day Adventists. That's why you had judgment at the end of a 40-year period for each one of those mountains. You had the Bashan, represented 1850 to 1890. For Ellen G. White and the Seventh-day Adventists and the Three Angels message. And so you had a judgment at the end of that mountain. The number two mountain was Carmel. In 1930 to 1970, you had a judgment at the end of 1970. It brought that mountain to a close. And that third mountain was Gilead Center, and that's where Esau emerged. That's where the one representing the true Esauite emerged. And as I prophesied, that Gilead Center had a 40-year period from 1970 to 2010. And just like the rod had a period of this Carmel, the second feeding pasture, had a 40-year period, 1930 to 1970. And the first feeding pasture, Bashan, had a feeding period from 1850 to 1890. And each time, Yahweh raised up a messenger at the end of each one of those 40-year periods. He always raised up messenger or messengers to bring that 40 years to an end. And always something happened in the way of separation. They had a separation in 1890. The General Conference come forward and intercepted the message and caused the majority of the Adventists to reject Jones and Wagner and Ellen G. White. Yeah, and when they rejected Jones and Wagner, they also rejected Ellen G. White as a prophet. And then they went into a 40-year spiritual fast from 1890 to 1930. Where there wasn't anything identified as a movement or as a mountain. A second mountain emerged in 1930 with Lee Tejada with a new message after that 40-year fast. And sure enough, what happened at the end of that 40-year fast from 1890 to 1930? You had the General Conference kicking Lee Tejada out, the new successor to Ellen G. White. So the old devil was always on the ball. He was always on the ball watching these new emerging prophets coming out of this movement of the Adventists. Watching them. And as soon as one of them showed up, he incited his leaders, the General Conference president and his officers, to rise up against these new emerging prophets and watch them and kick them out. And that's what happened. And so in 1970, at the end of the rod period, then what happened? Brother Johnson came forward. 1968, Yahweh prepared him to take over the Adventist movement, to take over the movement, and to head up the third feeding pasture and the third step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventists with the third feeding pasture. And sure enough, Brother Johnson had a contention with the Ben Rodens that closed out the rod, and he had a separation. Him and Brother Johnson and Ben Roden worked together for quite a few years after 1955, when Ben Roden was the successor to Ben V. Tejada. Brother Johnson worked with him for a few years, and then finally had to separate from him because of the difference in doctrine. And so Brother Johnson stayed online with true doctrine, and Ben Roden went off on false doctrine, and so that separated those two. And by 1970, they made the complete separation. And so then Yahweh sent me in 1970 to join Brother Johnson and to be his assistant, even though Brother Johnson didn't recognize me as such. He didn't have me anointed or identified as his associate pastor, but heaven did. And that's where it showed up. Esau and Jacob showed up. All right? As it says in Malachi, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. So, we know what happened to Gilead Center. And the thing is, what was so strange is, we lived in the wilderness. West Texas, literally the location, the headquarters for Gilead Center, is definitely a wilderness. It is sand dunes and sagebrush and all the animals that dwell in the desert and the wilderness, they live out there. And it says in Malachi 1, verse 4, Edom saith that we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. So Esau, he says, we're impoverished because I lost my birthright. My younger brother got my birthright. Jacob, he inherited all of my father's goods. A double portion of my father's goods when my father died. And he inherited the priesthood and the progenitor of the righteous line. And so it says, whereas Edom said, in other words, whereas Brother Johnson said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Brother Johnson said, we're going to go to Israel, 1974. He says, we're going to return now. It's time to return to the land of our fathers. To the land that's promised to Abraham's seed here in the last days. We're going to return there. And he set a date for it. 1974. It didn't happen. But anyway, he says, thus saith Yahshua of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call down the border of wickedness. And the people against whom the Yahweh hath indignation forever. Alright, so the Esauites is the one that Yahweh had indignation against forever. That's the reason why I said the Adventists they built from 1850 to 1890, Yahweh throwed down at the end of that period. 1930 to 1970, they built. He's going to bring forth 144,000. And I mean, they built. They had a headquarters. They built an amphitheater. They said, we're bringing forth 144,000. And we're going to go from here to the land of Israel, and then we're going to go all over the world gathering our brethren. That's what the shepherd Rod said. But Yahweh throwed it down. He says, and in Brother Johnson, he says, well, the 144,000 have been signed to our movement. We're going right on in to the promised land. And we're going to have the 144,000, and we're going to go all over the world gathering our brethren. That was his theme song. But it was thrown down. So what is it talking about here? Malachi chapter 1 verse 5. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say. Whose eyes? The eyes of the descendants of Jacob, the ones, the house of David. That's who we are today. Yahweh will be magnified from the border of Israel. Where's the border of Israel at today? It's way across the ocean from Texas. My goodness, it's 6 or 8,000 miles away. And 6 or 8 or even maybe even 10,000 miles away. That's where the borders of Israel are today from where we're at. But he said, Yahweh's going to be magnified from the border of Israel. So, that's what we're called to do right here where we're at. We're called to magnify the border of Israel, this house of David, here in the 12th hour. Jeff White, Africa, you're called to magnify the border of Israel. You're going to raise up these righteous, you're already raising up these righteous people. You're going to magnify the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and his servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Yahshua of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name. Now, who are these priests he's talking about? He's talking to Brother Johnson, and he's talking to Daniel Johnson, father and son, Esau and his son. And typically Esau brought us and his son Daniel, because he anointed Daniel to be his associate pastor. And if anything were to happen to Brother Johnson, his anointed son would step right in his place. Okay, even though Yahweh chose me to succeed Brother Johnson, nevertheless, Brother Johnson chose his son to succeed him. So he's talking to these two priests. He said, O priests that despise my name. They certainly despise Yahweh's name because they wouldn't use it. They wouldn't use it even though Yahweh had Brother Johnson, the Esauite, to restore the sacred name in 1970. Come 2002, when it come to crunch time, judgment time, Brother Johnson, he reluctantly yielded to the sacred name by saying Yahweh. He wouldn't even spell it right. He wouldn't pronounce it right. Then after he'd say Yahweh, he'd say God or Lord. Always had to put that pagan identity there as if nobody knew what he was talking about. So he says, they despise my name. They despise his name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Well, we restored it in 1970, Brother Johnson would say. Why, we don't have anything against that name, except we just haven't got used to using it yet. We're so used to that pagan title for Baal and for Satan and the god of this world that we just... we're so used to it. It just seems like we know what people know what we mean when we say Lord God and Jesus. They know what we mean. We don't have to go and say Yahweh, Elohim, Yahshua. We don't have to call them by their original Hebrew names that was given to the Hebrews. So you know. When I go down, if I were to go among the Mexican people, a foreign language, and they ask me, say, what is your name? And I said, my name is Denton Brunken. That's my birth name. And they say, oh, okay. So they call me by Denton Brunken. And they may not speak a word of English. Somebody would have to tell them. But if I told them my name, my Sayama, they'd say, ask me, what is your name? Como se llama usted? They would say to me in Spanish. I'd say, well, my name is Denton Brunken. They say, oh, Denton Brunken. And they would pronounce it Denton Brunken. And they would write it that way in English. And if I went to any language of the world, and they'd ask me my name, I'd tell them my name and my birth name, and they would pronounce it that way all over the world. They wouldn't give me another name in their own language and say, well, this is what we're going to call you because we can't pronounce your name. No, they would pronounce my name. They'd have respect for it. Just like if they told me their name in Spanish, for instance, down in Mexico, I would call them by their name. I remember when I was in school, in grade school, we had a Spanish class. And the teacher said, now, I want you children to choose you out a Spanish name. Says, so we're going to, and so they asked, they give us a list of Spanish names, and they asked me to choose a name that I want to be called by. And I choose the name Moreno. And the teacher from then on, every time we'd come to the Spanish class, have our Spanish class, she would address me as Moreno. She wouldn't address me by my name, Denton. She'd say, okay, Moreno. And I knew who she was talking about. But when I'd go to my English class there in school, they would call me by my name Denton. They wouldn't call me by Moreno. Only in Spanish class would they call me by my name Moreno. And all the girls had a Spanish name, and all the boys had a Spanish name. And it was quite amazing because when she called out a Spanish name, we knew exactly who she was talking about in the class. But when we went to our English class, we reverted back to calling us by our English name. Well, that's the way it is in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew language. Yahweh Elohim, Yahshua. That's their sacred name. And it's a sacred name, too. Just like Israel is a sacred identity. It identifies a purified people. Anybody that's not purified, or the descendants of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, are not identified as a true Israelite. So the true Hebrew Israelites can only get that name Israel if they come to the judgment was purified by getting their sins blotted out. That's the only way you can be called Israel. He says in Malachi 1 verse 8, let's go back and read verse 7 again. He offer polluted bread upon mine altar. Who's he talking about when he's talking about? He's talking about Verus and Daniel, these two priests of the sanctuary there at Gilead Center. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? All right? And that you say the table of Yahweh is contemptible. Okay, now, I was reading that verse 7 again in Malachi 1. I'm going to read it again, a third time. He offered polluted bread upon mine altar. He's talking to Verus and Daniel. He says, you've offered. And you say, and this is Yahweh talking to Verus and Daniel. He said, and ye, the two of you, say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of Yahweh is contemptible. Verus Johnson is asking Yahweh, he says, wherein have we polluted? And that ye say, and so Verus Johnson is talking to Yahweh, he says, now, you say that that we're making your table contemptible. Well, how are we doing that? Verus is answered. Now, Verus Johnson is asking Yahweh, how are we making your table contemptible? Well, we keep the feast day. We restored your calendar, sanctuary system according to your divine institution. And so Yahweh answers him. He says the table of the Yahweh is contemptible. He says, you've made my table contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept in thy person, saith the Yahweh of Yahshua of hosts. Now this is Yahweh, Yahshua the Son talking. What does it mean? And if you offer the blind for sacrifice. In other words, if you had a blind person come to you, physically blind, literally blind, could you lay your hands on him and have his eyesight restored to him? Could you do that? No, you couldn't, because you don't. You're not a righteous person. You're not spiritual enough. You don't have the faith strong enough to do that. And if you offer the blame and lame and sick, do you have people that are that has afflictions that are physically disabled? Can you bring them before me and pray over them and recover their lameness and their sickness? Is it not evil? If you can't do that, then it's evil. If you don't have the power to do that, then it's evil. Offer it now unto thy governor. Go offer it to your president. Go offer it to your governor of your state. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Go offer your plan of salvation that you claim to have the truth. Go offer to your leaders in your city. Okay. And now I pray you, beseech Yahweh, that he will be gracious unto us. Now who is this talking? This is Yahshua talking to Verus Johnson. And he's telling him, he says, and now I pray you, beseech Yahweh, the Father, that he will be gracious unto us. Okay. In other words, that he will be gracious unto you and the congregation of Gilead sinner. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith Yahshua the host? Said, will Yahweh the Father regard your persons? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Yahshua of the host. This is Yahshua talking to Brother Johnson. He says, I have no pleasure in you. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Now, if Brother Johnson had known that this was in the prophecies of Malachi, he read Malachi so many times through the years to us, if he had known that this was talking directed to him, he would have, I don't know what would have happened to him. Anyway, Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Now, this is Yahshua talking to Brother Johnson. He says, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. But Yahshua has got to have a minister. And the only one he found back in the Old Testament, at the time that King Saul and King David showed up on the scene, was he got him one called King David. He found him a man after his own heart, after Yahweh's own heart. And even though King David was fallible and committed some terrible, terrible atrocities like adultery and murder, but yet he was forgiven. And yet he, because he had the intestinal fortitude to fulfill what Yahweh needed at that time. And that was to lay down a type from then on for all generations, clear down to the end of time. And that at the end of time, he would bring forth a man just like him, of that same kind of caliber. So he says, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen. In other words, among the Gentiles, saith Yahshua of the host. He says, Yahshua, this is Yahshua talking. He said, his name is going to be great, Yahshua. And it's not going to be called Jesus either. Because Jesus is well known all over the world and has been ever since the Greeks invented it about 2,000 years ago. The whole world's familiar with that. And how is the whole world treating that name today? They've gone into oblivion. Malachi 1:12. But ye have profaned it, and that ye say, the table of the Yahshua is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. He said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed it, saith Yahshua of hosts. He's telling Brother Johnson. He said, you snuffed at my table, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, and you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith Yahshua? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrifices unto the Yahshua a corrupt thing. For I am a great king. See, here it is, right here. Yahshua is saying, he's identified himself. He said, I'm a great king, saith the Yahshua the host, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Okay. My name is dreadful among the heathen. Malachi chapter 2. Let's continue on our story about Gilead sinner. Because the whole book of Malachi wraps up at Gilead sinner. Malachi chapter 2 verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, And if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith Yahshua of the host, this is the Son, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you did not lay it to heart. What do you think about the angel of the seventh candlestick later said, when Yahshua come to visit him and addressed him as being not a cold or hot, but lukewarm? And he said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, he said right here in Malachi, same thing. He said, you wouldn't lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast. Gilead Center is the only one that restored the solemn feast out of the three steps of the Adventist movement in 1844. Which is why I had the prophecy in 1844 said, after the 2300 days, the sanctuary shall be cleansed and restored back to its rightful order. Okay. And so it was finally restored back to its rightful order in 1970 by Brother Stevie Johnson, the angel of the seventh candlestick. But Yahweh came and visited him in 2002, and he said, guess what? I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn face. And one shall take you away with it. And one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you. Gilead Center, Rollis W. Johnson. And not that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Yahshua of the host. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now, when did Levi do this? At Kadesh Barnea, coming out of Egypt. 3 months into the wilderness, out of Egypt, and the children of Israel rebelled. Tribe of Levi stood firm. Yahweh gave them the priesthood. Verse 6, Malachi 2. The law of the truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in the peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Yahshua of the host. Okay, so it says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Yahshua of host. So Brother Johnson was indeed the messenger of the Yahshua of host. 1907. He was appointed that. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahshua the host. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Oh, you've been partial in the law. In other words, when it comes time to give people their proper positions in the church, what did you do? You favored the one with the goodly clothes and the gold and the fine apparel. You favored your family first, even though they weren't qualified, even though they weren't even members of your church. You still favored them and put them in front of the members of your church. Yeah, that's what it's talking about here. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one Yahweh created us? Why do we deal treacherously, even every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Why do we deal treacherously? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel, and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Yahshua, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. Yeshua will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of the Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Yeshua the host. So he's going to cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles. He's got an S on tabernacles, meaning more than one time that the tabernacle was set up with men. And he says, and then he narrows it down to the single. He said, and him, singularly, that offereth an offering unto the Yeshua host. Verse 13, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Yeshua with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, in so much that he regardeth not the offering of any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore, because Yeshua hath been witness between me, thee, and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? Question mark. That he might seek a righteous seed? Therefore take heed unto your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Yeshua, the king of Israel, said that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Yeshua of the host. Therefore take heed unto your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Yeshua with your word. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good, and in the sight of the Yeshua, and he delighteth in them, or where is the Elohim of the judgment? Well, Brother Johnson declared all the members of his family and those that stuck with him when I gave him that message in 2002, he declared them all righteous and good, and that I was the only devil in their midst, and he had to get rid of me. So you can judge for yourself if this message fits. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yeshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yeshua the host. John the Baptist was, in his day, the messenger of the covenant. And the people delighted in him. They came out to the banks of the Jordan to hear him preach. He was living out there. He was living out there among the rocks and the ravines. He was eating locusts and wild honey. He was eating the herbs of the desert and had wild honey in the rocks that the beast supplied for him. Malachi 3, verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer unto the Yeshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yeshua, as in the days of old and as in the former years. So who did they offer their offerings to in the days of old, in the Old Testament, out there in the wilderness? Who did they offer them to? They offered it to that man in the cloud that was above them. Who was that man in the cloud? Paul says it was Yeshua, the rock of salvation. Okay. Malachi 3:5, and I will come near unto you the judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the idolaters, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the harlot in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith Yahshua the host. For I am Yahshua, change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahshua the host. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh, the Father? Yet ye have robbed me. Said, would you rob the Father? Well, question mark. Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Talking about where we robbed the Son. And tithes and offerings. So who are we to bring our tithes and offerings to? To the temple. And who receives them? The Son. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. So Yahshua is speaking to them here. Even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Yahshua of the host. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be a room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahshua of the host. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahshua of the host. Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve Yahweh, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of the host? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. And they that feared the Yahweh spake often one to another, and the Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of the remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahshua and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Yahshua the host, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh, thou shalt burneth an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahshua the host, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto ye that fear my name shall the Son of the righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua the host. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, that I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi, the book of Malachi. Let's go now and read, Amos chapter 9. I saw the Yeshua stand upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that feareth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them, and though they climb up unto the heavens, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, that's your division, Shepherd Ross, I will search and take them out thence, And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Yeshua Messiah of the host is he that touches the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth the stories in the heaven. Now who is that? Yeshua, the Son. He that buildeth the stories in heaven. He hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Yeshua is his name. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of the Israel, saith the Yeshua? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? Now this is Yeshua. And the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians are from Kir. Behold, the eyes of the Yeshua Messiah are upon the sinful kingdom. Notice it said the sinful kingdom. It didn't say his sinful kingdom. Because Yeshua raises up a righteous kingdom after this sinful kingdom is brought to an end. This is the sinful kingdom of Esau. Let us go ahead and read. And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. That's exactly what he did. Saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith to Yeshua. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like this corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. Brother Roden said it. Brother Johnson said it. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. When did they start raising up the tabernacle of David? When that happened? 1930. When Vitti Hall came out of the Adventist church with a new name, David, Davidians, Davidites. Amos 9:12, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. What? That they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith Yeshua that doeth it. Behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith Yeshua, my king, thy king. Okay, that ends Amos chapter 9. Let's go and try to do a little bit here on Obadiah. Only one chapter. Verse 1. For the vision of the Obadiah, thus saith the Yeshua Messiah concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Yeshua, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in the battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rocks. And who's he talking to here? The Laodicean. If you go check about the seventh church of Laodicea, you'll find out that out of the seven churches of Asia Minor, she was the only church city that dwelt in the cliffs of the rocks. Okay, whose habitation is high? And Isaiah and Psalm 68 says it's in high hill. It says it's an Adventist church is a high hill. It's a high hill is a hill of Bashan. It says that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Yahshua. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came unto thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? We know that Gilead Center, the leader there, certainly had some secret hidden things. Okay. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even unto the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith Yahshua, even destroy the wise men out of Edom? This is out of the Adventist church, starting with the number one wisest man, and that is the angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea, Gilead Center, and understanding out of the Mount of Esau. So he's going to destroy the wise men out of Edom, Adventist church collectively, and understanding out of the Mount of Esau. The Mount of Esau is Gilead, Mount Gilead. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed unto the end that every one of the Mount of Esau, of Gilead Center, may be cut off by the slaughter of Ezekiel 9. When the judgment of the living started at Kermit, Texas, it started with Ezekiel 9. Started the ancient men before the house, Ezekiel 9:6 and 1 Peter 4:17. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. And the day that thou stoodest on the other side, and the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, and the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of the distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossways to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of the distress. For the day of Yahshua is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head, for as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. That's on Mount Zion, the 12th hour, house of David, of the house of Jacob. And there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. So now, the lawgiver, house of David, this is one of the 12 houses of Jacob. Jacob has 12 houses. And the house of the Jacob, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, house of David, shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph, a flame, and the house of Esau, wrote of W. Johnson, Gilead Center, for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahshua hath spoken it. We have a type for that. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors, 144,000, shall come upon the Mount Zion, the judge, a mount of the Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yashuas. This brings the close of our study. This is our contest at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Breath in the Soul by Elijah David. Song that I've written February 26, 2006. I used to like the things that tempted me, just like the world it started with me. A little okay, it's a sample, it's part of blue. But just like sinning, that's what it is. Started out with a little kiss and ended up with bills long overdue. After I started having enough of sampling all that wonderful stuff, I went to the yard and threw in the towel. He asked me what changed my mind. The fiddler tuner said that red wine, and besides that field is getting wet to plow. For the breath of the yard is breath and the soul, something that I'll never let go, something that means more than tongue can tell. Rising up early, going to bed late in the quiet hours, and then it fades, and then I fall asleep, for all is well. I used to like the things that appealed to me, just like others I couldn't see. Couldn't say the hours were to save my soul. Then one day opened his book, something that I longed for so, something that had never grown. Being dead and scared as I began to read, I soon discovered I had a great need to be baptized in the likeness of his death. I longed for the day to be like him, to be free from sin and whole again. I close my eyes and sleep rest. Being born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, quenching the fire like nothing else does, fills me with His love now and eternally. So take hope, brother, and don't you let go. I wrap His love all around your soul, putting it on display for all the world to see. Word of God's breath and soul, something that I'll never let go, something that means more than tongue can tell. Rising up early, going to bed late, in the quiet hours, and every day, and I